Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back, 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and my website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Any way you, whatever it takes to get you to help you remember the site, we like to do that because we like to encourage you to go to our site. We think it's a little bit of small business heaven, and I think you will too when you get there. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletters, and don't forget to check out the archives and the articles, many of which are available. Both of those articles and archives are available from and with our guest this hour, Mr. Don Cooper, who's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the co-author of The 30-Second Commute. He is America's networking guru. Don Cooper, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Jim.
Hi. It's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Yeah. And Don, I want to say something on the air that I said to you off the air, but I really want to do this. Folks, you know how I talk to you about how proud I am of you and the things that you've accomplished, small business owners, and how important you are to our nation and to the world, and that you go out there and you carve it out every day. You work hard, you take risks, you create things from nothing and make it happen and make it successful and make it valuable to other people and to yourself. Well, there's nobody in the world that I know that is a better example of that than Don Cooper. Don, the things that you've done, you moved across the country, you entered into a new venture, you learned some things there, you grew, you moved on, started your own thing, and now you're out there serving customers all over the country, and you you built your own brand, and I'll tell you, Don, you're a classic example of what's right with entrepreneurship in America, and I just wanted you to know that I'm really proud of you.
Well, thank you, Jim. I'd say the same thing about you as well. You're a classic example of what's right about this country.
Well, you've just done such a great job, and folks, if you're wondering about what it takes to do what Don has done, Don, I know I'm going to speak for you for a second. You can tell me if I'm right or not. You got to believe in yourself, and you just got to work hard.
Absolutely.
But you also got to be smart too. I mean, you can't just wander off in the wilderness out there. You got to study and look around and observe best practices that other people have already done, and observe their mistakes that they've already done, and not get caught up in those, don't you?
Well, you have to be willing to do things differently than you've been doing them. You've got to be willing to learn. And a big challenge for some people out there is they're not willing to learn.
Yep.
I remember I was visiting a boat dealership one day doing some research for a sales training program.
Yeah, you were buying a boat, I know.
And I was talking with the sales manager, and he said he's got two salespeople. One was this old veteran who's been selling boats forever, and the other was this young kid who just started with him a few months ago. And within a matter of months, the kid was outselling the veteran.
Uh-huh.
Because the kid was soaking up every bit of information. You know, he would do everything the manager told him to do. He would read every book the manager told him to read, listen to tapes. And this kid was just trying everything that he could, whereas the veteran was set in his ways, didn't want to do anything differently, would not take anything in the way of coaching or direction. And that's a trap a lot of us fall into. We think we know what we're doing. We think we're doing it already as best we can. And we get static.
My friend Tom Feltenstein says the times when he's been the most successful was when he was willing to risk what he knew for what he might learn.
Absolutely.
Isn't that a great statement?
Yeah,
willing to risk what he knew for what he might learn. And you know what? That's the essence of entrepreneurship, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don, when you were out there, I know you were really buying a boat. You weren't doing research. I know what you were doing. When you were out there, did they try to upsell you while you were there?
No.
What's wrong with those guys?
It's funny. Too many salespeople are just out there hoping to get a sale in the first place, that they don't really think about trying to upsell. And it's a real shame because they're wasting a golden opportunity both for them and for their prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Upselling is a great opportunity to increase the size of your sale which increases your commissions, increases your profits, and at the same time can be beneficial to the customer.
Well, now, some people have heard about add-on selling, and you're talking about upselling. What, tell us what the difference is.
Well, you can think of it the same way or different. Often upselling is thought of as just increasing the size of the sale, something bigger, more expensive, whereas add-on selling is often considered adding more stuff onto the sale.
If you buy a shirt, you got to have a sweater.
Exactly.
If you're looking for socks, you got to have shoes to put on those socks.
Exactly. I tend to think of something as kind of both of those things. I like to package them all up into one big concept.
Because when I was with Sears, lo, those many years ago, and they were many. They were I actually could say decades now. I was just a pup. I mean, I was so wet behind the ears, I dripped, and. And they taught me this. You sell up by selling down.
Yeah.
And what they meant was I started with Sears folks in the tire department. I was in college. I was just a baby. And I started selling tires. And the way to sell more in those days, nylon tires and more, the middle grade tires, was when somebody came in to buy tires, I didn't take them to the middle grade or the price point tire. I took them to the radial, the Michelin radials.
Exactly.
That in those days were $200 a set, which was just outrageous.
Yeah.
It may not have been that much. It may have been $120. I've forgotten. All I know is the price was outrageous compared to what other tires were selling for. And you know what? That helped me outsell some of the old guys that you were talking about that were already in the tire department.
Well, there have been a number of studies that have proven that when you start out a customer at the high end, you end up increasing your overall sales versus starting them at the low end.
Right.
Because starting at the high end, they fall in love with everything they get at the high end, and then they have to give up something every time they move down the scale with you.
Well, and the other thing about showing them the higher end stuff is they're going to want that.
Right.
Now, they may not buy it. They may decide that they can't afford it. It's not right for them right now. But they're going to leave there wanting it next time.
There's also a principle at work in which the middle grade looks a lot cheaper if you start at the top than if you start at the bottom.
Right.
If you start at the bottom, then everything you show them from then on looks more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Where you start at the top, everything looks cheaper as you work down.
Right. Absolutely. Don, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, I want to get Don to talk to us about how sometimes we impose our own values on our customers when they're buying from us and how dangerous that is and how expensive that can be for us. And we'll talk about that right after these messages. It's 20 after. Don Cooper is our guest. His book is called The 30-Second Commute. And balanced on the precipice, the moment must reveal. We're back. It's 23 after. Little Steely Dan for you there. Don Cooper is our guest. He's the author of 30 Second Commute. Don, give us your website, please.
www.doncooper.com.
And that's just like Gary Cooper, ladies and gentlemen. He's like Gary. He's a handsome guy. And tell us where the book's available, Don.
The book's available at major bookstores everywhere. Borders, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. In Canada, up in Chapters, all over the place.
All right. And they can find out more about it and links to all that from your site, doncooper.com.
Exactly.
All right. Don, by the way, if somebody listening would like to avail themselves of your services, what would that look like?
Best way would be to call me at 303.
What type of things would you do for them?
What do I do?
Yeah.
I sit around and take up space. It doesn't pay well, but the hours are good.
No, that's not true.
I work with companies, and I help their sales forces to increase their sales. I help them sell more quickly, more ethically, and more profitably.
Mm-hmm.
And I also help customer service departments increase customer service and customer satisfaction, which goes right to the bottom line in increased sales.
And he must be doing an awfully good job, folks, because how did you tell me, 26 seminars in the last 3 months?
About that, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been real busy.
So that tells you he's doing something right, folks. Don, and I know they can contact you from your website. Let's get back to this thing I was talking about imposing our own values, our own life, on that of our customers. Have you ever walked in? You ever walked into a business? I've done this. Walked into a business, and you're looking for something, and you actually have the premium model in mind. You actually, you know, you don't know what you're looking for exactly, but you know you're prepared to spend a little money because this is something you want. You want a good whatever it is that you're buying.
Right.
And the salesperson says, "Oh yeah, that's our, you know, that's our high price model."
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
To make it sound, and immediately you get the idea that, you know what, you may be able to afford this, but this salesperson can't, and they're imposing that opinion, that attitude on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a deal killer as far as I'm concerned.
It is, and it's one of the biggest traps that salespeople fall into. I get asked this all the time when I'm doing sales seminars. People will ask me, well, you know, I don't think, you know, someone should buy that, or what, you know, what if, you know, I don't like that product, or what if I think it's too expensive? And I say, it doesn't matter what you think,
mm-hmm.
because you're not the one buying it.
That's right.
It's a real challenge we have to watch out for is letting our own values get in the way of the customer's values.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, just because you like plaid doesn't mean everybody else likes plaid.
Now, this is not the same thing, folks, as helping your customers make sure they get the product that's right for them or the most value. This is not the same thing as you making sure that you're helping your customer make a smart purchase. That's very desirable.
Yeah, that's what people should be doing.
Yeah, but we're talking about imposing your views. For example, if you're selling jewelry. And you can't afford a $25,000 diamond for somebody in your family. This person that's in front of you might be able to afford a $100,000 diamond. Who knows?
Exactly.
And it sure isn't your position, your point, your place. And you know what? If you can't deal with that, you need to be doing something else, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got to always put yourself in that customer's position and think of things from their point of view, not from your point of view.
And as the owners of those businesses, don't we need to make sure that we hire people that are prepared to deal with this the right way?
Yeah, yeah. I knew of one sales manager that would negotiate with salespeople right up front, and he actually wouldn't hire them if they didn't negotiate for a high enough salary.
Huh. I'll be darned.
He believed that if they didn't believe strongly enough in themselves and their own abilities, that they wouldn't be able to do a good enough job selling.
You know, one of the things, I didn't negotiate with people like that, but one of the things that I would do when I'd interview people is I would find out where their horizon was.
Mm-hmm.
And by that I mean when they would talk to me about compensation, if they told me that they wanted to make so much an hour, that told me about one horizon.
Yeah.
If they said they wanted to make so much a week, that was another horizon.
Mm-hmm.
If they said, I want to make so much a month, that was another one. And if they said, you know what, next year I want to be able to make this much for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the level, the last one, that's the kind of level that you want to hire for top management.
Right.
But if somebody comes in looking for a manager's job and they talk to you about an hourly rate or even a weekly rate, you probably their horizon isn't high enough, in my opinion, for a management job.
Yep.
And same thing in a similar situation for salespeople, don't you think?
Absolutely. You've got to be able to think big and really think about where you want to go and expect a lot. You know, the average salesperson doesn't get what they could because they don't expect they can.
Mm-hmm.
And our expectations influence our outcomes.
How do we got about 30 seconds. Give us another tip on how to upsell.
Ask yourself, what goes along with this purchase? What could this customer use? If you're buying X, what is going to make X more enjoyable to mm-hmm. use? What is going to make X safer to use? What is going to make X last longer?
Because it may not be that they're making a purchase, but as much as they're seeking an experience.
Right, or they're making an investment. It depends
mm-hmm.
on what precisely it is that's being sold, but almost anything can have add-ons sold alongside it, or you can upgrade them to a larger model, a larger quantity,
right.
a more expensive model, because there's reason the customer should buy something that's better.
Right, absolutely. Don Cooper, thank you for being here. Happy New Year, sir. We'll see you next time.
Sounds good, Jim.
Don Cooper, ladies and gentlemen, that's DonCooper.com. Quick break, it's 29 after. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. I'll be right back with Gerald Celente.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.